Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. And beloved, God has not changed. He's still in the miracle working business. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so thankful that you joined me today as we continue on in a message, When All Resources Fail, Faith. And the Lord has just been causing me to meditate and pray for the work of the enemy that has come against the faith of many, where doubt and anxiety and concern and dread and all manner of things are robbing you of peace. When we have faith, beloved, we are in peace. Why? Because we know that no matter what it looks like, whatever situation we are in, God is able. He's able to deliver. He's able to save. He's able to set free. He's able to make a way where there seems to be no way. And we were looking at a classic and dramatic example of that in the Old Testament. In the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, if you know your Bible, if you remember how God moved it while they were in Egypt, and it took 10 plagues before Pharaoh was willing to release them, and he had lost, as well as everybody else, every family, as well as every animal. They lost the firstborn. The firstborn were struck down by the angel of death. You would think after that he would have been finally willing to just move on, but he was not. He resented being opposed. He went after the Israelites, and they found them in themselves in an even worse dilemma. They were there encamped at a place God told them to camp at. Actually, it was at a Baal worship center right at the one side of the Red Sea, and they were hemmed off by the water, and they saw Pharaoh approach, and there was no place to escape. They were facing ultimate destruction, and they responded in fear. They cried out to God, and then they started laying on Moses, like, why didn't you leave us alone? We would have been better off in Egypt. We don't want to have to die in the wilderness. And the Lord said, stand still and see the salvation of your God. I will fight for you. That's the word for you today. I don't care what you may be going through personally, whatever crises, and so many of God's people have gone through incredible and are going through some amazing crises that are trying their faith. But beloved, I am praying for your faith. Jesus prays for our faith also, which is even more important. He told Peter that your faith fail not. And so He who gave us this measure of faith is faithful to complete that work. He is simply asking us to believe Him and then to act upon it. You see, that's the real test of faith. It's the acknowledging of that work of God and willing to move, willing to put action to what we say we believe. But there they were. What a tremendous place to be in. And as I said, you know, when they were camped at the very spot where Baal was being worshipped, God had really been judging the gods of Egypt with those 10 plagues. And He was demonstrating that He was more powerful than all the flies, the grasshoppers, the locusts, all the things that those animals represented, because they had so many gods in Egypt, and they were represented by animals of some various kind or another. And so today, you know, when Christians are saved, they can say, well, praise God, we've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness, which is basically we've been delivered from Egyptian bondage to sin, to death, to the curse of the law. We've spiritually speaking, have been brought out of Egypt. And we expect that maybe we're just going to be free of battles, but that's quite the contrary, beloved. As we find out in what this text we're reading, they had the worst battle when they were totally trapped by the Egyptians who came marching after them. They were exceedingly frightened. And beloved, this is a picture of us so many times when the battles are the heaviest. You know, I was thinking of that scripture. You know, there are those who preach, you know, blessing and prosperity, and all those are valid scriptural truths, but that's not the entire picture. This ministry and other fine, wonderful ministries are committed to preaching the whole Word of God. And beloved, all I can do is share the Word of God with you. And there's a portion in Acts, the 14th chapter. Paul had just been stoned, and they rose up, they gathered around him, and he rose up, and it says he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached in that city then and had taught many, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and then to Antioch. But what were they doing there? Listen to verse 22, Acts 14, 22. They were confirming the souls of the disciples, laying again the foundation of their faith, of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were exhorting them, encouraging them to continue in the faith, beloved. That's not just a Christian religion when we say that. It is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And then the third thing he says, this is what they were teaching, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And beloved, we have to understand that once we are born again, then we may have been pawns of the devil before in the kingdom of darkness, but now we are threats, and he will do everything he can to make us turn away from God. Or if we will not do that, he'll lay so many the trials upon us that he'll make us throw up our hands or sit down or want to turn back, take our hands off the plow. He'll do everything he can. Just as, you know, God allowed the enemy to do that to Job, and Job didn't understand what was going on. But what was happening, as I've shared, if you've listened any length of time, the real dynamics of what was happening to Job had occurred before the throne of God. When the devil taunted God and said, "Ha," and God pointed out Job, "You see my servant Job, there was none like him in all the earth." And he said, he's blessed. You take away those blessings, take away that hedge, and he'll curse you. And that's what was at stake. In spite of all he went through, he never cursed God, even as his wife suggested. He didn't understand. He was in confusion. He cried out to God, but he said, "Yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him." That's faith in God, beloved. Are you able to come to that place where no matter what happens, you are going to trust God? Think about the three Hebrew children. They were thrown into a fiery furnace that was heated seven times hotter than normal. Those who threw them in they perished because of the heat. I mean, they had sealed their death sentence. They said, "God is able to deliver us, O king, but if he won't, be it known that we will not bow down and worship your idol." And why didn't God save him before? He didn't. Why? Because of the supernatural occurrence that occurred. The fourth, like unto the Son of Man, walked with them in the midst of the flames. They were not injured. There wasn't a smell of smoke upon their garments. And as a result, Nebuchadnezzar had to acknowledge. How could he acknowledge? How did he know? He'd never seen Jesus. I expect when you see God, you won't have to question who it is. And he gave commandment that their God should be honored. And of course, then that worship of the idol that he'd made was, I don't know what they must have done with it at that point, smelted it down to something else. But anyway, that was the beginning. His final redemption didn't occur until he repented of his arrogance and was 7 years grazing like a beast, eating grass in the field. Finally, his sanity was restored. And then he did acknowledge in complete understanding there was a God in heaven who ruled the nations and those who he sets up. And so, beloved, we do face battles. And, you know, they began accusing, so often we look for scapegoats. They began accusing Moses. The children of Israel said, "It's because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you treated us this way and brought us out of Egypt? Didn't we tell you, let us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to stay there than to die in the wilderness." So as far as the natural man is concerned, the Israelites were in a real mess. Before them lay the Red Sea, nothing but water before them. And when they looked behind them, there were the 600 Egyptian chariots and Pharaoh closing in on them. What would God say? This is the word for us today, beloved. Fear not, stand still, be firm, confident, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again. And in verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. Do you remember the condition you were in before you were saved? You were simply an individual, probably trying to do your best, struggling to make your way through life. But when you saw the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for you, and you accepted him as Savior, you knew then that you were no longer bound by the bondage of Egypt. You recognize the blood of the Passover lamb. And beloved, now you're part of the body of Christ. You're joined together in a living organism with other Christians. Praise God. Well, beloved, my time is gone, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me. And if you are in a place you feel like you're at a Red Sea moment and there's no way to turn, God has an answer. Allow me the privilege of praying for you. The announcer will give our contact information. You have the convenience of email, or you can send a letter. I will respond by snail mail. And if you would like that personal answer, I invite you, if you email, to share your mailing address, although I will pray and confirm receipt. I love you with all my heart. I pray for you, my UCM family, my radio family, every day. And believing for God's deliverance in your life, for his best to be manifest, that the next few months are going to be a sign of real breakthrough for you in your life. I love you. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.